May the Lord help us to commence the solemn worship of God by singing hymn number 746. 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. Hymn number 746.
May it please God to bless the reading of his holy words to the profit of our souls this morning. Let us turn to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 5. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. This is, of course, the first part of what we term the Sermon on the Mount. So the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakar, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said of old time, of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Oh, may God graciously bless his word to us and help us now to call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty, ever gracious and merciful God, that one who is eternal, that one who has created all things. Gracious God, we as mere mortals of the earth would desire to come to thee at the throne of grace, and we pray we may be blessed with that wonderful access through the merits of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we're grateful that once again we have another Lord's Day. And once again we're able to join together around thy word, although in different circumstances to what we normally would. But Lord, we're thankful for the facility that we have, which enables us to do this. And Lord, we do pray that as we are blessed with this means, that it may be used for the eternal good of all of our souls. O Lord, we pray that thou be gracious to us today, and come down and touch our hearts, and reveal thyself unto us as thou dost not unto the world. Come, gracious God, and touch our hearts. We'll take away any stony heart, and grant us, Lord, that heart of flesh. And Lord, may indeed our hearts be found like that good ground prepared by thyself to receive thy word, that, Lord, there may be fruitfulness in our spiritual lives. And so, Lord, we come to thee on this Lord's Day morning. And, O Lord, we would desire to be thankful for every blessing and every mercy that we have. Lord, we are still surrounded with so many benefits. And Lord, we pray we may not be left to forget them, but that we may be able to recognize them and to praise our God for them. And so, Lord, we pray today that would come and do us good. Lord, we're all different. We have different ages, Lord, from young to old, and all those ages in between. And Lord, thou and thou alone looks into our hearts and sees what is there. Lord, we can only see one another's outside. We can only judge one another by what they may say. But Lord, thou art the great God who looks into our hearts. And we pray, therefore, Lord, that there may be that good concern, that good desire, that thou would come and bless us today. Lord, bless us individually. Lord, may we each have that true concern that today may be a day of blessing, a day to be remembered, a day when thy Holy Spirit gloriously and graciously descended upon us, so that we are found amongst those who are called the true worshippers, who worship the Lord God in spirit and in truth. O Lord, we pray to be delivered from just a mere outward form of religion, just, Lord, going through actions to try and to justify ourselves. But Lord, may we have that hunger and thirst after the things of God. And indeed, we would join that desire of those ancient Greeks when they came to Philip and they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And we pray, Lord, today that may have been our prayer. And if it hasn't been our prayer, Lord, may it be our prayer that thou would come, gracious God, and reveal thyself unto us as thou dost not unto the world. Lord, help us to be very conscious of the vast difference between time and eternity. We pray, gracious God, therefore, that we may have that great concern to be found right with God, that we may have the evidence of all our sins, however bad, however black, however wicked, however evil, are all washed away in the precious blood of the Redeemer, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, grant then that there may be that application to our souls of the precious blood of Christ that taketh away all sin. And so, Lord, we come this morning thankful for the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we pray that we may indeed rejoice in it and be very thankful that it is our privilege to be able to come together in this way, to have thy words to read, Lord, that word in our own language, that word which has been preserved to us down through the centuries, and that word which speaks so clearly to our souls. We pray therefore, Lord, as we've read together that part of that Sermon on the Mount, that, Lord, it may have spoken to our hearts. And, oh, Lord, we're thankful for it. And, Lord, we're thankful for the whole Word of God. Oh, Lord, do grant us ever a greater desire, day by day, to read the Word of God. Lord, let it never become a chore. But, Lord, let it be a pleasure. Let it be a privilege. May it be a joy, something we look forward to. And, Lord, we pray that would apply thy Word to our hearts as we read it. Instruct us, grant us a spiritual understanding of all the grand and glorious truths contained in thy word. And so it'll be with us and bless us. Oh Lord, we do pray for the church and congregation at Swaversey, Lord. We're thankful for maintaining them. We're thankful for blessing them. And we commend them to thee, Lord, that we'll continue to go before them and grant, Lord, that they may know a wonderful spiritual prosperity. Oh, Lord, that they may be blessed with that wonderful union of the Spirit. And, Lord, able and continue to pray for one another, to seek each other's spiritual good and spiritual benefit. Oh, Lord, we pray then that we indeed keep them together, bless them together, and remember them each with that favour thou bearest unto thy people. We pray, Lord, for the deacons who carry the responsibility of the church. Lord, be with and help them, give them much grace and much wisdom and much understanding to do that which is right in thy sight, for thy honour and for thy glory and for the salvation of many souls. And Lord, we pray that may yet be many who may be moved by thy Spirit to come and tell forth what thou hast done for their eternal souls, and desire truly to follow the despised and crucified man. And so, Lord, we pray that may continue to be that movement, the evidence of that movement of thy Holy Spirit amongst the people. O Lord, do then do them good. And Lord, indeed, we pray for the whole Church of God. Lord, we find ourselves in the day and age in which we live, in a very difficult time. Lord, thou hast seen fit to send this plague, this virus, throughout the world. Oh Lord, how it demonstrates so very clearly to us the power of our God. A very small thing, and yet a very great thing. And Lord, thou hast brought chaos into the world. Lord, we've come to a time of which we never expected or never envisaged. But Lord, may there be many who may observe this to be the finger of God upon individuals, upon churches, upon nations. And oh Lord, that there might be a turning unto thee. Lord, we especially pray for our own nation. Lord, we are so sad that there is no reference really to the work of God. Lord, through the media, we hear nothing of it at all. Oh, we pray, gracious God, there might be a realization that these things are sent by God and these things can be taken away by God. Oh, Lord, we pray then there may be a conscious realization in our nation. Lord, we realize we have gone far from thee. Lord, we realize thy judgment is rightly upon us. But Lord, we've ignored thy word, and we are still ignoring thy word. And we realize, Lord, still in this time of lockdown, there are those who are harassing the government and who continue to pass wrong and evil laws. Oh, Lord, we pray that frustrate all their efforts and grant there may be in our parliament are turning to thee. We pray for our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. Lord, we're thankful that it's bringing him through that virus that he received. And Lord, we're thankful that he realized that it was, as he says, touch and go with him. But Lord, we pray more than that, that he may have reason to realize that the hand of God was upon him to preserve him. And Lord, that such a realization may have a very real effect upon the way he acts and the things he says. Lord, we're thankful that we have a great God who controls the hearts of every man, woman, and child. We pray for our Queen, Lord. We're disappointed with her speeches, Lord, with no reference to God. And Lord, such an amazing difference between her and her father. But Lord, we pray that we'll be gracious to her still and cause her, Lord, to be concerned to speak forth the truth. O Lord, we commend her and the royal family unto thee, O Lord. And so, Lord, we pray for the afflicted and persecuted church throughout the world. Lord, we still enjoy much freedom in our nation, but we know there are so many in the world who do not benefit from these blessings. O Lord, surround them as they endeavor perhaps to worship in secret. Lord, be with them, bless and grant there may be many converted unto thee. Lord, we pray for the Sunday school in this church. Lord, be with them and bless the children. Grant that they may not find their time of worship in the Sunday school an irksome thing, but Lord, that they may learn much and be taught much, and thy Holy Spirit may descend upon them and cause them to remember, perhaps in years ahead, things that they heard in the Sunday school for their soul's eternal good. And so, Lord, we pray now that would look upon us. Lord, we come together and we pray, Lord, that would bless us. Oh, Lord, bless us indeed with that blessing that only thou canst do. Leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation. Forgive our every sin. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us further sing hymn number 120. 120. With joy we meditate the grace of our high priest above. His heart is made of tenderness, his bowels melt with love. Hymn 120.
May God graciously bless us this morning as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 and reading verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, in this Sermon on the Mount, which of course we can read in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of this Gospel of Matthew, speaks very solemnly and very straightly in so many ways and on so many points, so that really we have no excuse, and we should recognize the importance of the great truths contained in this sermon. And so here we have this morning really very simple words, but yet very important words. And the Lord says, for I say unto you, and that of course is a word for each one of us. We should take it in that personal way. The Lord is speaking to us directly, for I say unto you. And then he speaks about this great matter of righteousness, that except your righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, there's no leeway there at all, is there? The very plain truth is that all of us need a righteousness which exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, because, as the Lord says very graciously, if our righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, we shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's a very solemn statement, isn't it? It's a very important statement, and it's very easy for us in our lives to ignore such gracious words as this, because they are gracious words to the Church of God. They are written for our direction. They are written for us to realize that such statements are important. And so may we this morning ponder this great truth and look into our hearts to observe whether we possess this righteousness which exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Because if we do not possess that, then we shall in no case enter into glory when we die. That's such an important statement, isn't it? And yet, what a blessing it is that we have a statement like this, because it really is, it should be a warning to us. You see, we carry on so casually sometimes through our lives. We pick up perhaps the Bible. It's good if we do and we read it, but we pass over great statements like this. And sometimes we think, well, these statements are just theological statements, and therefore don't have a particular reference to myself, and I'm not able to understand them, so I just pass on to something which is apparently a little more easier and appeals perhaps to our nature. But this word righteousness is very important. The Lord Jesus, earlier in this same chapter, in the sixth verse, he tells us this: blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, that's an encouraging word, isn't it? So let us think upon that. The word says, those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, there's two things for them. Firstly, they are blessed, and secondly, they shall be filled. So as we may think of this word righteousness this morning and see how it applies to our own life, and if perhaps we are fearful and don't perhaps think that we possess this righteousness, well, may we go back, as it were, to this sixth verse and have the evidence that we are hungering and thirsting after this righteousness, because there is this great and glorious promise, and the word of God is true if we have such a desire. And that desire will emanate from God, then the result will be we shall be filled, we shall be blessed. The Lord will not leave us outside of this great and wonderful blessing of righteousness. Now, we must go back to look at ourselves. And if we look at ourselves, and if we're looking for our own righteousness, to find out how good and just and right and straightforward we are, we would have to realize, as we read, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They will not count. They will not be of any benefit to us. They will not bring us into this glorious kingdom of heaven. And so let us not be looking, therefore, to that which we've produced, and we're relying upon that which is our righteousness. But may we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who gives this great and glorious righteousness. Indeed, we read much about it, really, especially in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and speaking of in Abraham, and even in Galatians, we read this great, wonderful, and simple statement. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Well, that really is a fundamental truth for us, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in what he has done, what he came to do, and the glory of that wonderful transaction which was completed upon that cross at Calvary. He finished the work that his Father gave him to do. Well, Abraham, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, Abraham believed. He saw my day and believed. He believed. And what an important thing it is for us to believe. I suppose many people today take it too lightly. Other people cast it aside. And yet, you see, there is a very great need for all of us to be found believing. Believing in what God has said, believing in what the Lord Jesus Christ has recorded for our encouragement. And sometimes I think of the words which we can read in the Gospel of Mark. And it's good to be able to read words of encouragement. There was a case where there was a man who brought his son unto him, and the son was suffering. He said, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And so the man brought him to the Saviour, and he brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and fell on the ground and wallowing, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And then he says, we see here the faith of this man. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And then Jesus says to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And this man then makes this wonderful statement, very important statement, really. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I think that shows to us the conflict which there is in hearing the word of God and obeying the word of God and believing in the word of God. And that means, of course, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the conflict of the devil who will come and endeavor to turn us away from the truth and say, well, of course, you can't believe. That's not possible. You're too bad in any event. And there's no possibility, because the devil doesn't want us to believe. And so we have this very simple statement, really. He says, help thou mine unbelief. That means he didn't want to not believe. He truly wanted to believe. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Well, isn't that an encouraging statement, really? An encouraging condition for us. Perhaps we might think, well, I wish I had a greater faith. Well, again, don't forget that the word of God encourages us with a little faith. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked. And you see, in that statement, there is that position of righteous, being righteous. And so this morning, may we be truly concerned that we do possess this great and glorious gift of righteousness. And you may say, well, you know, what does it really mean? What is righteousness? Well, righteousness is really to be just and to be right. And that, of course, is what God is. God is righteous. God is just. And he is right. And we, of course, in our sinful condition and in our sinful nature, are not just and are not right. And therefore, we need the great blessing of God to make us just and to make us right. And therefore, what does he do? Well, he grants that great and glorious gift of justification, so that in the sight of Almighty God, we are indeed just. And what a mercy that is, because if we are just, then you see, we are righteous. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Rome, there are many very instructive words that the Apostle wrote to the church of God to encourage the church of God. And there's a number of words I just like to refer to, really. And if we come towards the end of the fourth chapter, this, of course, is speaking about Abraham. And you remember, Abraham was told that his wife would have a child in the old age. And we're told in verse 20 of this chapter, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You see, there was naturally an impossibility that Sarah should have a child, but he staggered not. And let us be encouraged by that in our own lives, not with regards to that kind of situation, but perhaps we may think it's impossible that God can indeed have mercy, impossible in fact that God can ever make us righteous and give us this blessing of righteousness because of the evil and wickedness in our hearts, and perhaps the evil and wickedness in our lives. Well, here we have a statement to encourage us. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now let us remember that faith is not something that you and I can produce ourselves. It's a wonderful favor and a wonderful gift that God grants. And what a mercy it is to have a God that gives this wonderful gift of faith. And of course, one of the well-known verses with a reference to that is in the second of Ephesians and the eighth verse, where we read, "For by grace are ye saved." That means, of course, the free, unmerited favor of God. His grace through faith. He gives faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And it's important that it is like that, because if you and I were able to produce faith ourselves, what would happen would be this. We would take from the glory of God. We would claim glory for ourselves, because we would say it was that faith which we produced. It's our faith. No, it's God-given faith. And so we have this statement back in Romans here, reference to Abraham. He was strong in faith and giving glory to God. Let us never forget that. In our little lives, our lives are for the glory of God, giving glory to God. And then he goes on in the 21st verse, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. See, what God promises, he is able to perform, and we should be very thankful for that. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was given to him. It was placed upon him. Wonderful blessing that was. Have this imputed to him. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And then he states, the word says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." It's a very great statements these are, but they're very true and very important. So remember, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So to come back then to this need then to be justified, what a mercy it is if the Lord has indeed justified us, not because of anything in ourselves. No, we are sinners, and there's nothing in us of any virtue. There is none righteous, no, not one, not one. And we are like that until God imputes, gives us his righteousness. And the wonder of the gospel is this: the Lord Jesus, he takes our sins, however bad they are, and imputes them unto himself. He takes our sin upon him, and in exchange, he gives us his righteousness. So you see, the two actions have occurred. He's taken our sins and he's given us his righteousness. And if he's given us his righteousness, then you see this word is true, that we will therefore by his grace, by his mercy, and we should say by his wonderful love, we shall at last enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, what a mercy it is then. And as the Lord says in farther on in this Sermon on the Mount, in the sixth chapter, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's the first things we need to seek for. I think great blessing, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There are many things, aren't there, in this world that you and I perhaps spend time and effort going after, but let's not forget one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And as the Lord says to Martha, Mary has chosen that good thing that shall not be taken away from her. Yes, Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. And if we possess, therefore, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, it shall be well with our souls. Indeed, eternally well with our souls. And what a mercy that is. Again, there's a warning in the Word of God with reference to these things. As the apostle speaks again to the Romans, and in the 10th chapter, the 3rd and 4th verses, he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Well, I don't know, but perhaps some of us have been ignorant of God's righteousness and have gone about trying to establish our own righteousness. And as a result, we have not submitted ourselves unto the righteousness of God. And then he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The glory of the gospel is this: the Lord Jesus Christ, he kept the law, the holy law of God. He kept it honorable. The Lord Jesus Christ kept that law, and he kept it on behalf of his church. He kept it perfectly. And then in order to redeem and to save his people, what did he do? He gave himself as that perfect sacrifice to take away our sins. And that was no simple thing. It was not an easy thing. No, it cost him his life and a most painful death. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered in order to redeem our souls, in order to give us this great and blessed gift of his righteousness. Yes, the cost was so great. We little understand the greatness of that transaction, which was completed on Calvary so many years ago. And when we try and meditate and think, and it's good to try and meditate upon what the Lord Jesus Christ passed through in order to give us, in order to impute to us his righteousness, he bore our sins. And there he was, you think, in that judgment hall, and before that, of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And how wonderful it was that he introduced the Lord's Supper to his disciples in the upper room and preached that wonderful sermon recorded in the Gospel of John to his disciples. And then they went out, and the Lord Jesus went into Gethsemane, and he prayed to his Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And let us try and think. This is Almighty God, the second person in the Trinity, praying to his Father that if it was possible, this might be taken away from him, but it was not possible. Because the Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer. He had to die. He had to die that sin atoning death. He had to sacrifice himself right through the history of the world. There had been the offering of sacrifices. There had been the shedding of blood, setting forth the death of the animal as a symbol of that which was so needful and so necessary. And you can take it right from Genesis, right through the Word of God. And then we come down to that great time of the Savior. And then, of course, he was taken to the judgment hall. He was mocked, ridiculed. And what grace we see there in the way that he responded, in the way that he acted. And then he came to Calvary. And there he was, put on that cross. What an agonizing death it was. And what he suffered there on that cross is, we know he said those powerful words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why did he have to face that? He had to go to the end of the law for righteousness. He had to complete all that was so necessary and all that which you and I could not possibly do because of our sinful condition. Now, this morning, does that make the Lord Jesus Christ precious to us? Is he then to us today the one thing needful? Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, what a mercy if God has given us faith to believe this great and glorious truth. You know, as we read in the 11th of Hebrews, that wonderful account of all those who were blessed with living faith, and you and I need living faith in the same way. We must have it. And the apostle says in the beginning of that chapter, or a little way in, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And yet we know that God gives that faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means, as you and I come to our God, desiring these great blessings of this righteous, his righteousness, to come believing that the Lord will grant this to us. He will give it to us, confessing our unworthiness. Yes, you and I won't come laying down what we've done. We'll come empty. We'll come with nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Well, what a mercy it is if God brings us to that position. We're able to say, for I say unto you, except your righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And that, of course, means that it exceeds anything that you and I can produce, because all we have is that which is of filthy rags. And ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, may we be blessed, and may we realize, and may we have the wonderful evidence that God has given us this faith to believe. And as such, then, we do receive the imputed righteousness of Christ, because we are made just through his death. What a wonderful, grand and glorious truth it is. And again, just going back to the Romans, because it spells these things out really so very clearly and instructively for us. And in the third chapter, the apostle says, even in the third chapter, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. But there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friends, that's all of us. We've all come short. We're all lost and ruined in the fall. And we need the gracious and blessed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he says, being justified freely by his grace. You see, it's given to us. Isn't it wonderful to think of that? Being justified freely by his grace. Surely he is worthy of all honor and worthy of all glory. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Well, really, those verses in a nutshell give us the complete picture of this great and glorious blessing of righteousness. And what a mercy today the Holy Spirit comes upon us and blesses us with the evidence in our souls that he's given us faith. He's given us faith to believe, because it all emanates from God, my friends. And because it all emanates from God, that's why he is worthy of all honor and worthy of all glory. And that's why we should desire to come before him and bow down and to acknowledge that he is our God. He is the one that has graciously come and called us. Called us what? Out of the darkness of nature into the glorious light of the everlasting gospel. And what does that mean? It means that by his grace, you and I have been born again, that we possess a new life. We possess a life which God blesses and encourages and shows to us this wonderful favor that we have received the righteousness of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, in heaven, there is no unrighteousness. Heaven is a holy, holy place. God is a holy, holy God. And it'd be a wonderful mercy when you and I come and see God by faith as a holy, holy God, and yet a wonderfully compassionate God who does not deal with us as our sins deserve. A good thing, perhaps, if every day we're thankful that God has not dealt with us as our sins deserve, but that he is loving toward us, gracious toward us. Indeed, that he's poured forth that love into our hearts. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. See, it all emanates from God. It's all from God. Everything that you and I are blessed with in the spiritual realm emanates from God. And what a mercy today, if you and I are able to come and to truly be thankful that we are amongst those whose God has called out of nature's darkness, produced that new life in our hearts, and blessed us with this faith to believe. You see, the faith given to those patriarchs in the 11th of Hebrews was very great. But my friends, it's no less great when God gives you and me faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there was that occasion, wasn't there, when Paul and Silas were in Philippi, and because they'd been beaten and put in the prison, and then there was that wonderful occasion when the earthquake broke open the gates and doors in the prison, and Philippian jailer came and said, "What must I do to be saved?" What must I do to be saved? And Paul was able to speak to him, preaching the gospel. And he said this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, it was a very simple statement. But you must recognize that in that account, quite clearly, Paul had preached the gospel to him. So he understood what was being set before him. And what a mercy it is for us today. If we understand what is being set before us in this great and glorious truth of possessing the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, it's so humbling, isn't it? To think that we as unworthy, black sinners of the earth should have been chosen. You know, the Lord Jesus tells us, doesn't he, in the 15th of John, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and your fruit should remain. It's all of grace. It's all of his love from eternity. Ponder the great truths contained in the word of God right back in eternity. The blessed Trinity agreed to save our souls, not because of anything in ourselves, but because of his love toward us. Yes, chosen in God. My friends, what a blessing. And if we have the evidence of it, we shall rejoice in these truths. They won't be theoretical truths. They won't be just dry doctrine. They'll be precious to our souls. And we'll praise God for them. And we'll bless God for them. And we'll be thankful for the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll be thankful for the wonder of being justified, which we couldn't do ourselves, no. But bless God, if he has come, and he has indeed brought us to this wonderful position. And therefore, as we read these words this morning in this chapter, and again come back to that sixth verse in this fifth chapter, where the Lord said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Now, I've no idea, have I, what you're thinking. I've no idea what's in your heart this morning. But oh, praise God, if you can find in your heart, you have this hunger and thirst after righteousness. What a blessing. It's a God-given blessing. And praise God for it. And if you have this hunger and thirst, the answer is, for they shall be filled. You will receive the blessing. You may not perhaps get or feel just what you would like to feel now, but here is the truth of God, for they shall be filled. Filled with a great and glorious knowledge of this salvation, filled with the knowledge that Lord Jesus has come into this sinful world to shed his precious blood in order that you and I should be justified and that you and I should receive his great and glorious blessing of righteousness. Well, may the Lord be pleased to apply these words to our souls' eternal good for his honor and for his glory, so that we indeed today may go on our way rejoicing, thankful to know the Lord is mindful of us, because he's put into our heart this desire, he's put into our hearts this concern and this prayer that we might receive his righteousness and therefore be termed blessed. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen.
The notices are as follows. God willing, Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday school this afternoon at 2:30 and will preach for us this evening at 6:30. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock with an address by Mr. Robert Field. On Tuesday evening, God willing, Mr. Gerald Buss will preach for us at 7 o'clock. Mr. James Pack was engaged for this date, but is unable to preach through affliction. And God willing, Mr. Bernard Burgess will preach next Lord's Day at 10:30 and 6:30. Let us close with hymn 591. 591. How blessed is the man who in Jesus believes and on him can cast all his cares. A righteousness full and complete he receives that hides all his guilt, sin, and fears. Hymn number 591.
Of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.